Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Life's dim windows of the soul distorts the heavens from pole to pole and will cause us to believe a lie when we see with and not through the eye. What's it talking about? When you look at life with these physical eyes, looking at physical circumstances and physical moments and physical issues with just your physical eyes, you're going to be messed up, guys.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
To which Reagan responded, "Huh? God don't like it when you call names." Hey, man, it's one of my favorite stories, too. Every once in a while, somebody in the house will call a name, and you know what Dad comes out with. "God don't like it when you call names." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? What you say is what you are. You're a duty head. How about this one? Whatever you identify with will eventually become your identity. That's what I want to talk about for just a moment. Whatever it is that you identify with will eventually become your identity. So I see this in Joseph because he's surrounded by Egypt and Egyptians and their culture and their language. And in different phases of his life in Egypt, he's got all kinds of power and influence. But Joseph did not identify with Egypt. He was surrounded by it, but he kept his identity in the promise of God to his people. He kept identifying with his God, and so he never became an Egyptian. Our identity must be in Christ. You cannot have your identity to be Christ Jesus, remain in Him, unless you are identifying with Him on a regular, everyday, consistent basis. You can't identify with the world and then expect someone to watch you live and claim your Christianity is strong and right. I love my pastor says this, if you want to know what somebody believes, don't ask them, watch them. Because if you watch me long enough, you're going to know what I believe because I'm going to live what I believe and you will be able to identify what is real about me, whether I'm telling you that's true or not. I can stand up here all night and say, I am a cowboy. Yes, sir, I am. Yes, sir, I am a cowboy. Yes, sir, I am. But if I don't wear a hat and I don't own a horse and I don't do cowboy things, I'm not even sure what riding rope broncos or what. If I don't do anything that's like a cowboy, I can tell you that all day long. Are you going to believe it? No. You can go out there all day and say, I go to church on Sunday and I'm a Christian and I love Jesus. But when you identify with the world way more than you identify with Him, guess what your identity really is? I love these verses, 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. I love that verse because when you study the words, here's what it really says. What kind of unhuman, unearthly love is this? I don't even understand this kind of love. That would be so poured out on somebody like me and that it would identify me as a child of God. Listen to, let me go read further in this verse. There it says that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, I love this part. We will be like Him. Amen. where you will see him as he is. Until the day that I am glorified and finished and I look just like him. My job is to keep my faith laser focused on Jesus as the object. And every day I am to identify with him so that the world and my Christian brothers and my kids and my wife, when somebody asked him what kind of man was he, they could say David Markham was a man of God. He identified with Jesus Christ. If your faith is misplaced, you can love the Lord, you can be saved. But if your faith is on something else, you're going to be misidentified. It's easy to look like a Christian at church. It is. But many, many Christians live under a different identity. And some of it doesn't appear evil or wrong. Let me give you an example. There's a lot of Christians that identify more with a disease process than they do their Savior. We even say it like this: I'm a diabetic. We even call it my diabetes. I'm depressed. Guys, I have a degree as a nurse. Listen, I'm not minimizing a disease process. I help people in their treatment of it every day. But that is not what I am. It may be what I'm dealing with. It may be what God is walking me through. It is not my identity. I do not call myself by a disease process. I am a child of God. Amen. Who just may happen to deal with something that the doctor's helping me with. How about this? A lot of Christians identify with their career. Their identity is based in what they spend 40, 50, 60 hours a week doing. God may have given you that career and that job. He did not expect you to take that as your identity over being his child. I'm a Christian who just so happens to have a degree and work in the medical field. Okay? So even, it doesn't even have to be an evil thing. I don't want anything to take the position that God's given me identified with him in Christ. Correctly placed faith keeps our identity in the right place. Let me go to the second point. Correctly placed faith ties us to our God-given purpose. Correctly placed faith ties you to the purpose God created you for. C.S. Lewis. Here's a quote from C.S. Lewis. Listen, this is beautiful. The place for which God designed us in his scheme of things is the place we were made for. Watch this. When we want to be something other than the thing God wants us to be, we must be wanting what in fact will never satisfy us. The thing God has designed for you to be from the beginning of time, he knew you before you were forming in your mother's womb. He planned you, he purposed you, he designed your path, and he made you just for a specific purpose. If you are in anything else besides what you were designed for, you will not be fulfilled and satisfied and happy. You can't bang a square peg into the round hole. You can try. That thing's going to be ugly once you stop beating on it. Amen? Joseph didn't tie himself to the purposes of Egypt, to the plans of Egypt, to the future of Egypt. Now watch, he was in Egypt. He was working a plan that would save Egypt and the surrounding areas, but he was not working Egypt's purpose. He was there because God had placed him in Egypt so that he could have the resources of Egypt to save his father and his brothers in Canaan land and to save them from the famine. He was in Egypt working God's purpose for God's people. He just didn't realize what was about to happen. It wasn't Egypt's purpose and Egypt's plan. It was God's purpose for Joseph's life. You were born with a purpose, a divine calling over your life. You say, I never amounted to anything. I promise you, the day you slip into the purpose that God designed you for, you would, I wouldn't, I love where I'm at, guys. My life is not perfect. There are definitely struggles. These guys that I love so much, I'm texting them on a regular basis and saying, it just came loose again. Pray for me. And they do the same. Hey, we're in this together. Life is hard. It's difficult. If you're in a fight, expect to get hit from time to time. But I love where God has me right now. You couldn't come up and offer me millions of dollars to do something else. Because why? I'm born to be in this place. This is what I was created for. I don't even know where I'm going sometimes. But I'm enjoying it. It is like Christmas every day. I just wake up every day going, I wonder what he's going to do today. Some of you are miserable because you're fighting to be in a lifestyle and in a purpose you were never intended for. What if God wants you? What? Man, Malin was telling me the other day about when he surrendered to God. How old were you in that story you were telling Heston and me? About 18 years old in the altar. He knew, he said, the day I tell God I'll do whatever you want, he's going to send me to Africa, and I don't want to go to Africa. That's what he said. But he finally got down that altar, and he said, fine. If it's Africa, let's go to Africa. Whatever you want. He's walking back to his seat, and the guy said, hey, I need some help. Can you play drums for me? God didn't want Milan in Africa. He just wanted him willing to go there if that's what God said. I was in, what's the name of your church? Plantation. I want to say Pleasant something or another. Plantation Baptist Church. Anybody ever been to Plantation Baptist Church about DCAP? There's no cell service in that place. Zero. You might as well just use this to prop a door open. That's all it's worth. We were in there in a revival service one time. You ever have that deal with your phone and you walk out and you get the service and about, it sounds like your phone's blowing up, all these messages and voicemails, just bloop, 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 it sounds like a video game. That's what usually happens at Plantation. I'm in a service there one night when Brother Eddie at the altar call came up like Heston did last night and told the church that he had surrendered his life to preach. A few minutes later, the altar call service ends. I stand up and my phone went off. And I looked down and it said, this is Brother so-and-so from Church so-and-so. Could you send somebody to preach here on such and such a date? I said, Brother Eddie, are you free next weekend? Ain't that how it worked? He went, I surrendered, Lord, but not right away. No, he didn't say that, but that's how it worked. Never got a text in there before or since. You've got a purpose. I was trying to talk to my kids about this one night. My son, Colin, for about a year and a half, was at a Christian Ministries church in Hot Springs, Arkansas. They have a leadership academy, and he was in the leadership academy, and they had plugged him into a ministry at the church in the media department. And he was part of the team that would make announcement videos that would go up on the church screen announcement time during church, and they made these really detailed videos to announce stuff. He spent time on these things. So he was showing us those one night. And there was one that he created that he was really proud of. It was about a minute and a half long. And the video was just telling the church that they're updating their directory, and here's how you update the directory, and you come at this time on this day, and you sign this thing up. And he did all this video work and the audio and everything, and it was about a minute and a half, and it was a really neat thing. So I said one night, I said, Colin, pull that thing up. So he pulls it up, and Taylor and Reagan and Colin and I stood around the computer, and we watched it. I said, now y'all come here and sit down. I want to ask you something. So, Colin, you made that video for Christian Ministries Church to tell them that on this date, we're going to update the church directory. I said, what if we sent that video to a Coliseum in Los Angeles, and before a rock concert, they played it for everybody on the video screen? And all the kids kind of went, well, that doesn't make any sense. I said, okay, it doesn't make any sense. Well, let me think again. What if we sent it to a business in Houston, Texas, who was about to train some new hires, and as a part of their new hire training program, they played Colin's video? And again, my kids went, what? I said, okay, that doesn't make any sense either. What if we did, let's do something that makes more sense. What if we sent this video for a church and their directory, and we sent it to First Baptist Redwater, and they played it there? That's closer, right? Is that going to work out? And they all said, that's still not going to work. Why? Why? Because the purpose that the Creator intended for that video is only going to work in the right place at the right time for the right people. Anywhere else you send it, even if it's to another church, it's going to make no sense. It's going to help nobody. Your life is only going to work. It's only going to function the way it's supposed to when you're in the right place at the right time with the right people. And God wants you where He's purposed you to be. How do I get there, David? Put your faith on Jesus Christ. Identify yourself with Him, and He will lead you exactly to where He wants you. Amen. He wants you to know. But He's not going to share that with you while you're doing it your way, in your time, with whoever you choose. Thirdly, lastly, correctly placed faith allows for godly perspective. Let me read you one of my favorite poems. In fact, I can quote it. Listen. Life's dim windows of the soul. The poet would call the windows of the soul the eyes, okay? So it's talking about your eyes. Life's dim windows of the soul distorts the heavens from pole to pole and will cause us to believe a lie when we see with and not through the eye. One more time. Somebody just went, ooh. I love this one. Life's dim windows of the soul distorts the heavens from pole to pole and will cause us to believe a lie when we see with and not through the eye. What's it talking about? When you look at life with these physical eyes, looking at physical circumstances and physical moments and physical issues with just your physical eyes, you're going to be messed up, guys. Because these physical eyes in this messed up world will put you in a bad place. It will lie to you about what is truth and what is needed and what is necessary. Here's what we've got to learn to do. We've got to learn to look at life through our eyes and not with our eyes. What is that talking about? With eyes of faith. The Bible says we do not walk by sight. What do we walk by? Faith. Tony Evans says it like this. I love Tony Evans. I'm going to be a black preacher one day. Tony Evans says, if all you can see is what you can see, then you're not seeing all there is to be seen. If all you can see is just what you can see in this moment that you're standing in, then you're not seeing all there is to be seen. And what in the world is that talking about? Do you know that this physical world is controlled by a spiritual realm that surrounds us? If we could see in the spiritual, there's strings attached to everybody in here, and those strings have a puppet master, and some of those strings are being controlled by God, and a lot of them are not. The spiritual world is more real than the physical world we operate in. So if all we're doing is seeing this life with these physical eyes, your circumstances with your physical eyes, here's a verse that just popped in my mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own what? Understanding. Lean on Him. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He directs our paths. You can't do it with your physical eyes, with your understanding, with your abilities. You're going to go down every time. Put your faith on the one who never fails. If Joseph would have used his physical eyes to interpret the mess he was going through, he would have given up years before he got to Egypt. He never would have made it to Potiphar's house. He'd have quit because nothing added up. Nothing made sense. You've got faith in God. You're walking the line. You're trying to live for Him, and everything keeps falling apart. Why? I don't understand. I cannot answer all your questions, but I do know this. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's working this out for your good and for His glory. Don't give up. Keep walking. Keep believing in faith. Godly perspective is what we've got to learn how to have. We can't keep looking at circumstances with physical eyes. It'll drive us crazy. It'll drive us crazy. Without properly placed faith, you can't operate with godly perspective. Let me close. How did God ultimately honor Joseph's faith? Because if you look at this from a certain perspective, Pastor, he died in Egypt. He even said to his family, "Don't leave me here. This isn't my home." He had been there for decades at that point and had seen God bless and seen God help and seen God's favor, but this wasn't home to Joseph. So it's almost a little depressing when you read that last verse that says, "And they buried him in a coffin in Egypt." That's not the end of Joseph's story. It's not the end of his story. Let me show you the story of the bones. Joseph's bones show up in multiple places. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. This was a neat thing for me. The last thing we see in Egypt, his bones are placed in a box and buried with an Egyptian funeral. But that's not the last time we see him. Exodus 13, verse 19 says this, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under a solemn oath, saying, 'Surely God will visit you and will carry you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you.'" 144 years after his death, Moses is leading the children of Israel in victorious exodus. And before he left, he said, "Wait a minute. Go get that box of bones. 150 years ago, we promised Joseph. The reason we're here upright and breathing is because he was willing to be faithful to God 150 years ago. He promised to take him with us. Go get his bones." So they walk out, four men carrying the box of bones. And then this comes up years later, 65 years after the Exodus, 210 years after Joseph's death, Joshua 24, 32 says, "The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem, a plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 120 pieces of silver, which had become an inheritance to the children of Joseph." 210 years later, the promise was kept. He's brought out of Egypt. He's carried around the wilderness over and over and over for years and years and years, but he finally made it home, and they buried his bones in Daddy's land back at home. That's still a sad story. It's sad if this story ends, this man of great faith, with a dreary graveside service. Hey, it's beautiful that he's back home. But is that the end of his faith? Two nights ago, Chuck stood up here, and as he was preaching, boy, this thought came to my mind. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, and I said, 'Oh, Lord God, you know.' And again he said to me, 'Prophesy to the bones. Say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I'd been commanded, and while I prophesied, there was a noise, there was a rattling sound as the bones were coming together." Joseph's eyes were fixed. Faith-filled, not on Egypt, not on his problems, not on a wrong identity, they were fixed on a promise that God had made to his grandfather and his father and to him. He didn't just see an exodus from Egypt when he said, "Don't leave my bones here." That's not all that his eyes of faith could see. He didn't just see the conquest of the promised land or even a burial back home in Shechem. I believe Joseph was seeing through the eyes of a faith a greater day, a bigger promise, when bones would start rattling in Shechem, when Jesus himself would leap over the battlements of heaven, split the eastern sky, and start preaching to the bones. One of these days, Joseph is going to stand up, because the faith that he had is going to resurrect him in power to meet his Savior in the air. That's the promise of the faith of the believer. It's bigger than this world. It's more powerful than the circumstances that you're struggling with. Correctly placed faith will get you to the here and now. But honey, it's going to get you to the some sweet someday also. Jesus has made us a promise. Because I live, you also shall live. These bones may be put in the ground one day. If I'm here long enough, they will. Stats are in. One out of every one going to die. And I don't know what that funeral is going to look like. I hope some folks show up. I hope they say nice things. I hope somebody says he was a man of God. He was a class A father. I hope they say he loved his wife with abandon. But I also hope they say, if you think he's dead and gone, you're crazier than you look. Amen. He may be laying in this ground for now, but there's a great getting up morning coming. And the faith that I have in Jesus today will resurrect me with him. And I want to see him one day in the air. Amen? You believe that's true? Stand with me.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.